So maybe you just make some closing comments about ALL, maybe even without going through the case. ALL is a disease that in general, the general medical oncologist community is usually farming out a tertiary care
Yeah,
center.
ALL, we're not seeing as many ALL cases treated in the community because it's so complicated still. And the new drugs have been really revolutionary, and the new approaches have been revolutionary, but they haven't moved the therapy to the community oncologist.
On the other hand, I think it is important for those docs to understand what's going on and what their patients might be getting into when they go to a tertiary center. Can you just sort of summarize from your point of view, what are some of the major things that have occurred in the field that you think are important for a general oncologist to know about?
The big difference is salvage therapy works. That's the big difference. And the other big difference is younger patients should be treated with a pediatric approach. So if I had to say two major advances in the ALL world, those are the two things. The pediatric approach was recently published. Actually, Wendy Stock was the lead author on that in Blood in the past few months, using a regimen that was literally borrowed from the Children's Oncology Group and used to treat patients up to the age of 40 on that study. I think they even, for a brief period, enrolled patients up to age 50. The goal in that study was to enroll people up to the age of 30, and then they just expanded it. But using the same regimen that had been the control arm from a recent COG study. And that used a different approach to treating patients, not in terms of the drugs that it used, but the duration of therapy, the intensity of therapy, primarily for the antimetabolites. What's different in pediatrics is they use less myelosuppressive drugs, but they give them metronomically for a much longer period of time and keep a high dose intensity for the antimetabolites in a way that was often not done in adult ALL, which, quite honestly, more paralleled AML approaches, very intensive therapy for short courses, long breaks in between cycles. And the relapse rates, if you compare patients who were treated on pediatric center trials versus adult center trials at the same ages were substantially higher in the adult centers for years across multiple comparisons. And finally, we in the adult world just threw up our hands and said, let's take the pediatric regimens and see if we can give them at all. So we now give those. And the data are now published that this works as well as it does in the pediatrician's hands. We see considerably lower rates of relapse. We see remission rates that are about 98%. Induction mortality is at 2%, which is as good as anything we've ever had. And we can actually predict who's at greatest risk of relapse largely from looking at measurable residual disease by sending flow. Now, that's not flow to your local lab. That's flow to a specialist who knows how to interpret the rare lymphoblast and know the difference between that and recovering, regenerating bone marrow. And that's hard to do. So on these studies, it was done in a central laboratory. And off a study, we sent it to the University of Washington. They do that commercially, and they'll test our patients. So we send that out there to their lab. They're the reference lab for the Children's Oncology Group. So we get the same assessment as would be done on the COG trials. And what we see is patients who are MRD negative do very, very well up to the age of 30 or 40. When you get over the age of 30 or 40, a few things happen. One is pH positivity goes way up. And that study only had pH negative patients. So pH positive, the big advantage is now adding TKIs from, induction and continuing it all the way through is leading to many more patients, again, becoming MRD negative. And it's bringing up the question of how much does transplant help those patients? And the answer is we don't know. We're going to be studying that going forward. We still think as of right now, off study, that pH positive patients in remission should go to transplant even when they're MRD negative, knowing that the transplant outcomes are better in MRD negative, but not answering the question of if you're MRD negative, do you need the transplant or should you just stay on the TKI and get maintenance, et cetera. So for frontline therapy, the big change is for pH positive patients, start TKIs early, give them all the way through, check for MRD, still do transplant, and even post-transplant tyrosine kinase inhibitor is a part of our planned regimen. And again, those are not based on maintenance versus no maintenance head-to-head studies. That's experiential. We're just seeing better survival with that approach than has ever been reported. Which TKI to give? There's several that have data. There are data with imatinib, data with dasatinib, data with nilotinib, data with even ponatinib, plus chemotherapy backbone. So that's still a question to be answered, and there are arguments for and against various different TKIs. And then for the patients who are pH negative but over the age of 40, it's anybody's guess what the right answer is. Right now, we're still using intensive therapy. We're trying to do as much of a pediatric approach in patients as they get older, as they can tolerate up to the age of perhaps 70 with some modifications. We withhold asparaginase, which is very important in younger patients. In the oldest of the adult patients, like over age 55. We still use extended maintenance, and we think about transplant, but we don't mandate transplant in these patients, knowing that if you achieve an MRD negative state, you may do okay, or we may reserve transplant for treatment failures.